Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aww yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about how you can learn English at home alone. So, of course, lots of us have been spending a lot more time at home over the past year, but this doesn't mean that you have to stop learning English or making progress in your language journey. We have some great tips for you in this podcast that's really going to help you get some structure to your language learning, as well as some ideas on how you can continue learning and practicing at home. And as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll find a bonus tip from Ollie there. So make sure you check it out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
cutting edge
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're petting a dog, grooming a cat, or even
roller skating by the beach.
Ooh. I'm joined here in the global studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea, first of all. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And then, I don't know if we're going to continue with this nickname, but the Thunder Down Under, Ollie.
I have noticed that you've kept going on with that nickname, and I'm jolly good today.
What does that mean, that you're jolly good?
Well, this is actually a phrase that I think, Andrea, in the UK, you would use, but it means I'm doing fantastic.
As an American, when I think of jolly, I think of Santa Claus. We tend to say Santa Claus is jolly. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, it makes me think of Mary Poppins as well, a little bit, like those kinds of movies that we grew up with, where it's a little bit more, I think maybe in the UK, like saying that now is a bit more formal or a bit posh, but you make it sound a lot more fun, Ollie.
Like a lot of things, right?
Definitely. So in this podcast, we are going to be doing a much requested topic. So many of you out there, much like us, in the last year have been spending more time at home maybe than you ever have in your life. So a lot of people have been having to find very creative ways to improve their English at home. Most people, I think, tend to come out of the tradition that if you wanted to learn English, you might have to go to an English school, you might have to go to local events, you might have to actually travel to an English-speaking country, or, you know, just go on vacation or anything like that. And so in this new world that we're encountering where we're stuck at home, what are some things that you can do to improve your English at home alone? So we're very excited to talk to you about this topic because I think for us too, we've had to be creative with our own language learning from home and teaching as well.
Yes, we've definitely had to be much more creative in all the different kinds of things that we do, and teaching being one of them. So we've kind of added many strings to our bow because we've learned how to teach online as well really effectively.
That's a new expression for me. Many strings to our bow. What does that mean?
Do you not know that one? Yeah, so if you have many strings to your bow, it's like the skills that you have. So it's like adding a skill to your bow. I guess it comes maybe from like a bow and arrow, I imagine.
I've heard a similar one that's many arrows in your quiver.
Oh, see, I don't know that one. That must be your equivalent.
Yeah, it must be the equivalent in the US. And a quiver is like special sort of backpack that bowsmen would carry the arrows for their bow and arrow in, right?
Yeah.
But before we get into any of that, we have a shout out, as always, to a very special listener out there.
Yeah, and today's shout out comes from Alice in Wonderland from Russia. And she says, thank you. Hi guys, I would like to thank you for your hard work. I've been listening to your podcast for approximately 3 months now, and my listening skills have really improved a lot. I can understand TV series, songs, and native speech a lot better, all because of you guys. While listening to your podcast or watching your YouTube channel, I feel like I'm falling head over heels in English. You gave me the power to continue my English language journey. By the way, I'm reading The Power of Habit now, and it's such an incredible book. Thanks, Ethan, for recommending. Oh, yeah. With love, Alice from Russia. What a nice message.
Yeah, it was really incredible. By the way, The Power of Habit, she's probably talking about the video that I did somewhat recently about 6 life-changing books for your English. So if you want to check that out, we will link it in the show notes, which are over at reallifeglobal.com, and you just have to click a podcast and look for this episode. And Ollie, what did she mean that she's falling head over heels in English? Or I'm not sure if she meant falling head over heels in love with English.
Yeah, exactly. Well, to fall head over heels, as you basically just said, means to fall in love, like madly in love. So you could say, I'm falling head over heels for my partner. It means you are completely and utterly in love with your partner or something. In this case, Alice is falling in love with English.
I'm glad that we can make you so crazy about English. So if you're also crazy about this podcast, just like Alice is, then you can head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. And the really great thing is that you will help other people from around the world to also discover a podcast and have a lot of fun learning with us. And if you don't use Apple Podcasts, then why not go over to the show notes of this episode and leave us a nice message, and we might also shout you out with that. Now, before we get into today's main topic, we have a burning question from one of our listeners.
So today's burning question is from one of our Instagram followers, and their name, of course, it's an Instagram name, but it's Dao Dadiop. And this person asked, what is the best way to learn English without speaking to natives?
That is a fantastic question. Do you have any gems of wisdom that you might impart among them?
Oh, I like that. What's a gem of wisdom?
A gem of wisdom, maybe people can already guess it from the context, but it's basically a piece of wisdom, a piece of knowledge or something like that. So we'd say if someone has good advice, they have gems of wisdom.
That's a really nice one. So I do have a few. And first of all, this question comes up a lot, especially in the Instagram lives I do, and we see them in comments on YouTube. So first of all, I think it's important to say that it's okay to speak with non-natives, and don't worry about doing so, and don't think that is going to make your English worse. Because you're probably aware of mistakes you make. Even if you're speaking with a non-native, you might actually be able to pick up on mistakes that you're both making and help each other with them and learn together. So you can correct each other. Also, if you're speaking with another learner, then you're both in the same boat. So you're both learning English. You're both going to be able to empathize with each other because you know what it's like to be a language learner. And so it can really be a positive thing.
What does that mean to be in the same boat as someone?
We use this to describe when you're in the same situation as someone else. You're going through the same thing.
Yeah, that's definitely a really great way to describe that. And I think the other thing that I've found too, talking to a lot of English learners, is that when they speak with natives, they get really nervous because they think that that native is judging them, that if they make any mistake, that person is going to think poorly of them. But this is completely untrue, I think, for like at least from the 3 countries that we come from. I think people in general are very friendly and helpful. Of course, you can meet some people who aren't, but I think that's more the exception than the rule. But besides that, maybe it will make you feel a little bit more at ease. As Andrea said, if you're in the same boat as this other person, you might not feel so much like that person's going to judge your mistakes because they're going through the same challenges as you are.
Exactly.
And I think another really important thing here is that as long as you have enough good native input, so like you're listening to podcasts, you're watching TV series, you actually study and you kind of are able to identify the mistakes you're making, and you can learn what you need to so that you stop making those mistakes, maybe even getting a good teacher to help you to do this will definitely be a big help. Then when it comes time to speak, it's more about the output. It's more about actually putting to practice everything that you've learned on your own. So we're definitely going to be talking a lot more about different ways that you can start doing this throughout this podcast at home alone. So I think this is a great point to move into our main topic about how you can start learning English from your home. All right, so Ollie, do you want to share with us what is the first important thing that they can do to start improving their English at home alone?
Absolutely. Now, the first important thing is to have a goal. A lot of my students say, I want to learn English, but you need to be more certain about what you want to achieve. Why are you learning? Do you need it? Do you want to learn for work? Do you want to travel? Do you want to connect? So it's important to know what you want to achieve. And that's why you need to have clear targets. So I recommend that you listen to our podcast on goal setting for guidance on how to do this.
That's a really good point because we talked a lot more about that in that podcast and actually like tips on how you can set the right goals. Because as Ollie said, having those clear targets, having those clear goals is super important, because the more specific it is, really, the easier it will be for you to kind of visualize in your mind, and the more that it will push you forward through those difficult times when you want to give up, when you don't want to continue.
Yeah, it will also give you some structure as well to what you're doing. So rather than just think, oh, I'm going to do this today, I'll do this tomorrow. If you actually set some targets for yourself, you're going to give yourself that structure. You can kind of decide what it is exactly you want to focus on. And then you can think about your strengths and your weaknesses, because it's a really good opportunity to focus on the things that you find most difficult as well. And it will like prepare you again for when we're kind of back to normality in a way, and we're seeing more people and we're socializing more. So it's a really good time to prep for that as well.
That's a really good point. It's kind of like you have the opportunity right now to set yourself up for the future, right?
Yeah, and a way that you can set yourself up for the future is to develop good habits and be consistent. One of the ways that you can develop a good habit is you might be watching TV series in your own language, for example. Why don't you watch it in English? And if you need subtitles at the start, then use subtitles. One of the things that I really like doing is watching travel YouTube videos in Spanish because I love travel and I'm learning Spanish. So for me to develop a good habit, I watch this YouTuber who travels around South America, and it's like my 15 minutes of practicing Spanish. If you can find like half an hour in your week to watch a YouTube video or to watch a TV series, that's definitely going to help you.
I think it's really crucial, as Ollie said, to actually tie these things to what you already enjoy doing. So don't just go out there and like start watching the news in English just because someone told you that that's going to be a good way to learn if you don't actually enjoy watching the news. So I think it can actually be good to even like sit down and make a list of what are your interests. Like, do you really like music? Do you really like playing the guitar? Do you like traveling, like Ollie said? Do you like cooking? It's like, what are the different things that you're already doing in your life that you could start doing in English? And by doing this, it's kind of like you're going to, it's like a hack, it's like a trick that you can use to actually start spending more and more time every day in English. And like just having these kind of little touch points throughout the day where you're doing things in English, they can add up to like all of a sudden you have your own immersion experience without ever leaving your home country, right? Something else really useful that I think you could do is, again, kind of like sitting down and reflecting a little bit, maybe even create yourself a schedule. Like Ollie said, maybe you could watch one video about something that you're interested in English every week. And you could actually say, okay, I'm going to do this on Fridays during my lunch break or something like that. I'm going to, you know, have a list of videos already on my phone. And so it's really easy that when I have my lunchtime on Friday, I can sit down and watch one of these videos that's going to be interesting for me. It's going to be good English practice. And actually like taking a look at your week and starting to think, where can I fit in these different activities or these different study points or these different immersion experiences with English?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I always find like, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are coffee drinkers and people like to spend, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour drinking a coffee in the morning. This is a great time where you can pick up a book and read a couple of pages or a couple of chapters of a short story, or even where you can watch that 20 minute YouTube video or 20 minute Netflix episode of a series. Finding time in your current schedule where you can make the most or take advantage of these times, because we all lead busy lives, but just finding a little bit of time, maybe in the morning or in the evening, is definitely beneficial.
Well, certainly. I think that's really nice too. If you do it with your morning coffee or your morning tea or whatever, maybe just your breakfast, if you don't drink anything like that, then I think it's also like a way to kind of charge your day with positivity. You're doing something that you enjoy. Maybe you're laughing with a good series, or you're getting excited about like a travel video or whatever is the case. And then, you know, when you have to go and work, whether it's at home or somewhere else, you're just going to kind of already have started your day off with a win because you watch that thing in English. It's just put you in a good mood, right, for the rest of the day.
Definitely. So if you're one of those people that tend to grab their phone first thing in the morning, try and get out of that bad habit, because there are so many studies linked to how this can really affect your day in terms of giving you anxiety. You can then just start scrolling aimlessly and waste time. And we spoke about the social dilemma, the Netflix documentary, quite a while back when it came out. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, that's a good one to listen to for sure, so that you can think about maybe how social media affects even your time, then you can use this time in much more productive ways.
Definitely. Unless, of course, you're grabbing your phone to go over to Instagram and watch Andrea's live, for example. That's okay. We'll give you permission for that. Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson. So we've spent a lot of time on the first topic about goal setting habits because it's just really fundamental. It's super important that you have some awareness of this. But once people have kind of gotten down their schedule, they kind of know when they're going to have time to study, what's something else good that they could add as an arrow in their quiver or a string to their bow?
So one that's really great is to imitate. And I get asked this question a lot as well, like, is imitation good? Is it useful? And of course it is. It's a really fun thing to do as well. So you basically choose someone that you admire or that you like watching. Maybe you're watching their movies if it's an actor, or you're watching interviews with them. And it has to be someone that you like, because then you're going to be more motivated to watch videos on them, and also someone that you like the way they speak, because this can really help your pronunciation if you aspire to have a certain accent. So you're basically just imitating. So you'll listen to a sentence or two that they say, you can stop and then repeat what they say exactly the way they say it. So you don't need to think about the words that they're saying or anything like this. You're just focusing on your pronunciation. And a really good tip with this one is to do it with a mirror in your hand, if you have one, or in front of the mirror, because then you can see the shapes that your mouth makes. And you might be self-conscious to begin with, but it can actually be quite fun, I think.
I like that idea. Another way that you could test yourself further in doing this activity is to actually record yourself and listen to yourself back and judge it against the person you're trying to imitate. So I think that's cool too.
And at first you'll probably feel really silly at first, like by looking in the mirror, by listening to your own voice. Most people don't like the sound of their own voice, but you can trust the three of us, because all of us we're constantly listening to ourselves in podcasts and video and everything. You will get used to the sound of your voice over time, and it won't sound so horrendous to you. So stick in there and you'll be really glad that you did, because it's such a powerful habit to have to improve your speaking, even if you're on your own. In addition to what Andrea was saying, I think it's really important to choose one specific person. So if you're doing with a bunch of different people, maybe it's like one of them would be like Australian, one of them's British, one of them's South African, and you might end up with just kind of like a jumble of weird ways of pronouncing things and whatnot. And so if you choose just one person and who's speaking you really like, who you really like their accent and you really like kind of their way of speaking, then that way you can try to replicate that exactly. And then, you know, maybe in the future, once you're more confident with that, then you can try adding other features of the English language to your way of speaking and make it more personal to you. But I think when you're first starting out, it's really important to have kind of that controlled environment, almost like a scientific experiment.
Yeah, and I really love what you mentioned, Ollie, about the way that if you record it, then you can compare it against the person that you're imitating. That's a really good idea. But also, if you do record it, then it's a great way to also track your progress, and also to hear, you might pick up on things more when you actually hear your voice back. Then you pick up on things rather than when you're just speaking, kind of listening to yourself in that way.
That's a really good point. I think like if you could actually go back 6 months and hear yourself speaking compared to now, you might just be amazed by the progress that you've made. Because over time, if we're just doing like little things every day, we don't see it so much. But it's kind of over time that those little things that we're doing every day make a humongous impact. So it's nice if you actually have a way to see that happening to continue to motivate you forward.
Good. Humongous. I love that word.
What does it mean?
Huge, massive, really big.
There you go. We have so many words like this, right?
You could say like Mexico City is humongous. It's a large city. Very, very large.
Would you guys say like ginormous, or is that super American?
I would say gigantic.
ginormous is more colloquial English for it, because I think it's like actually a combination of different words that mean big. A kid would say that, but you can also hear like adults saying that if they're trying to be kind of like very exaggerated. So like Mexico City is ginormous.
It's like a mixture between giant and enormous, right?
All right, moving on. Maybe you have gotten some good practice in recording yourself, but you're wanting to put yourself out there. We kind of looked at this in the burning question. What can people do, Andrea?
Yeah, so of course, we're really lucky because we live in an age where technology is really advanced. So, you know, our parents, our grandparents have been through much more difficult times as well, because we can still connect with people, which is amazing. So I highly recommend meeting people online for conversation practice. And also, maybe if you live alone, sometimes you might feel a bit lonely at times and you just want to connect with other people. So it would be great if you could join a community. And there are so many great ways to do this. There are so many online communities and so many different mediums that you can use for something like this.
Totally. I think that this kind of comes back to what we were talking about before, about tying your English to the things that you're really interested in. So if you took like Ollie, for example, maybe he is really into travel. He could join a travel community. Like there are many of these out there, but like one of the ones that pops to mind is TripAdvisor. You could go over their forums and maybe there's a place that you really want to travel to. And so maybe you see what other travelers have commented about it. Maybe you could even put yourself out there and like reach out to a few people who have been to the place that you want to go and see if they'll jump on Skype or jump on a Zoom call or WhatsApp call with you to give you some advice about it. And this can be a really good excuse to start meeting people who have common interests with you.
Yeah, I like that too. That's really good. TripAdvisor.
And I think like pretty much any interest that you have, if you're really into tennis, if you're really into swimming, if you're really into anime, I mean, you can find communities for all sorts of things on the internet. If you just do like a quick Google search for tennis forum or anime forum, I'm sure you'll find a community of people who are talking about this.
Ethan, you mentioned about Googling these groups. Another great platform is Facebook. If you type into the Facebook search bar, English learning groups or English cafe or any type of thing you're interested in, travel, South America, there's tons of groups that you can join. And a lot of these groups have like over 10,000 members. So that's definitely a way that you can connect to people with common interests.
Yeah, that's another really great tip. I think another similar one you could use nowadays too is Meetup, which I used to use Meetup a lot for finding different meetups. Like Meetup is like where people are getting together to do something. And I've used it for like all sorts of different things in Barcelona to actually physically get together with people. But what I've noticed is that a lot of these communities that I'm part of on Meetup nowadays, they're doing actual different things online. So I saw that one of them that I'm in, they used to actually do like a pub trivia, and now they're doing like Zoom trivia. So they'll actually do like a trivia night over Zoom. So I think you could kind of look in your city and stuff, and maybe you can go physically depending where you live, or maybe some of these groups are actually doing things online to kind of make up for not being able to get together in person anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if you're not confident in trying to meet people like that or meet people in person and you still want to stay at home, I think another great way to practice your English is to comment on one of our videos and start a conversation with somebody who's commented on our video. Maybe you can talk about the video, some new words you've learned and things like that.
Yeah, that can be a really fantastic way to meet people. Or it could be also, like we were talking about before, if you watch travel videos or you watch cooking videos or whatever, you could find people in the comments maybe. And again, it's a great way to meet people who have similar interests to you. So I think it's also kind of like just shifting your mind. Like you don't necessarily need to find people who are a native speaker or a teacher or, you know, another English learner. You can just find people who also speak English, whether it's their native language or not, who have the same interests as you. And ultimately, you're going to have much better relationships too with these people, I think, than if it's just like some random person that you're contacting because they're a teacher or they seem like a native speaker or whatever the case is.
Totally.
And actually, if you haven't been following us for very long, we're currently developing an app that is, the purpose of it is to help you to connect with other people from all around the world to speak English together. And so this isn't available publicly yet, but we'll have a link in the show notes if you want to get on the waiting list so you can be one of the first people to use it once it is available. So again, be sure to head over to reallifeglobal.com and look for this episode of the podcast to find a link to get on that. And that will also help you tremendously to be able to practice your English from the comfort of your own home.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So we mentioned kind of like some other resources that people could use. Like we talked about maybe watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts. What are some other things that people could use maybe creatively to improve their English, Ollie?
So yeah, I think magazines and newspapers, although they're slightly old-fashioned, you can definitely find magazines and newspapers online these days as well. Yeah, you might like reading the hard copy, go to the local corner shop or the supermarket and buying the newspaper, but you can find plenty of resources online. And I think some of these newspapers require a subscription, but I think you can get a subscription to like the New York Times for a dollar a week or something like that. The great thing about living in this day and age, like living today, is the fact that these forms of media that were once in print are also online now. So another thing that is also quite good are recipes. I know you two love cooking, which I've discovered. And I like cooking as well, and especially recipes. So if you like cooking, look up the recipe in English online. Like, there's so many resources on Google of recipes in English, and you might even learn some new vocabulary as well, like chop.
What does that mean?
So you might chop a carrot into small pieces.
Yeah, it's kind of cutting, but it's not like cutting into like super tiny pieces or something. But yeah, that's a good point. You learn tons of vocabulary. One website I actually really like for looking up recipes is Pinterest, because Pinterest, you actually see like all the pictures, and I'm quite visual on it, especially with like recipes. It's nice to see like more or less what that thing should look like when you finish cooking it. So that can also be very good if you search actually like what you're wanting to cook, or you can even just search for like by ingredients. Or if you're vegetarian, for example, you could say like vegetarian recipes or fast recipes if you're looking for something that you can whip up in 10 minutes for dinner. And this can be a really great way, just like Ollie said, to get that kind of specific vocabulary if you enjoy cooking, or even if you don't enjoy cooking, but it's something that you have to do anyway. Maybe this can be a way to amplify your skills a little bit while at the same time practicing your English.
Yeah, and all of these resources are really great. And you could also use books. Like if you like reading, you could read storybooks, you know, fiction books. You could try nonfiction as well. Maybe there's a book that you've read in your native language that you can then read in English as well, because then again, you already have an idea of the story, so it will help you to understand it as you're reading it too. But to practice your reading as well, to develop your vocabulary, you don't just have to read books. So that's why magazines, newspapers, recipes are really great, because maybe you're not an avid reader and you can read other things. Reading isn't just about reading books.
What does that mean to be an avid reader?
If you're an avid reader, it means that you really love doing it and you do it a lot. You read a lot of books, you probably read every day, and it's something that really interests you.
Exactly. Maybe people are already doing these things. Maybe this isn't news for them. So Ollie, how could they use this to improve their speaking? If they're already doing some of these things, they're reading different sources, they're watching TV series, movies, listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, doing all that jazz, how can they utilize that to also improve their spoken English?
Yeah, so another thing that you can do, if you read a newspaper article that you really like and you want to practice your speaking, this goes back to the point we made about imitating and recording what you say. So read the newspaper article and then get your phone and press record and say a summary of the newspaper article. It could be a minute, it could be 2 minutes long. After you finish, re-listen to what you've said, and then you can go back and read the newspaper article again to see if your summary, your spoken summary, is the same as what you read in the newspaper. This would be really good because you get to practice the language and the vocabulary that you've learned in that newspaper or magazine article. So you're reproducing the language again.
I can imagine this could be a really good technique too if you're like actually trying to remember something. So like if you're reading, like we saw in our shout out that Alice was reading The Power of Habit. So if you're reading some self-development book or some book where you're learning about something like this, then you could maybe read a page or a paragraph or a chapter or whatever. And then as Ollie was saying, like almost pretend as if you were telling someone about that. You had to summarize that to another person. So it's going to help you, for one, to practice your English, of course, but you'll also remember that a lot better because you're forcing yourself to recall that information. And I think that could also be really beneficial because it's almost like you're practicing for when you get in a conversation. So maybe if you have nothing else to talk about, you can tell them about that book that you read because it'll be so fresh in your mind since you've been doing this exercise.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely find that when I learn something and then I teach it to someone else, it really helps me to remember it.
Most definitely. All right, so if you guys have been enjoying some of these tips, we have another one that you'll find exclusively over on our Instagram, and this will be a really fun way to improve your pronunciation in English, even if you're at home alone. So you're not going to want to miss that. So as I said, be sure to head over to our Instagram at reallife.english and look for that post. As always, thanks so much for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in our next episode. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.